and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I apologize in advance for today's show.
Why?
I am exhausted.
And drunk.
Well, that goes without saying. I've been up all night. The guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money is here.
Yes.
Staying at my house. So I've been up all night fending off both his attempts to kill me and to have sex with me.
Oh, dear.
God, am I tired. Hey, everybody. It's Ron Hartenbaum, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Ooh, you're a little soft-spoken.
Yes.
I'm just used to seeing him over the top of the pillow as he kept trying to hold it over my face all night.
Like Annie Wilkes in Misery.
Yeah. You know, it's that near-death sex experience, which is always good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't he creepy? See? All right. See, he's always been Michael Hutchence
has something to say about that.
He's always been a fictional character. People don't realize he's real. And he's in my house. Actually, I almost hit a giant truck on the way in because he was in the car with me.
Oh.
And he didn't want me to do that because then he dies too. And then who gets life insurance money? Maybe you. I don't know.
Hey, yes. That would have been a good idea.
All right. We went to a fancy Hollywood party, didn't we? I took him to Rob Reiner's house for the Robin Michelle Reiner's for the Oscar party.
Nice.
It was very good. We lost.
Albert Brooks. Albert Brooks has all your money. He won the betting pool. I had no idea.
Brilliant.
And I was even cheating off Rob Reiner. I'm like, I don't know who's going to win the sound. I don't know. They force you to vote, and I'm like, I have no idea.
Didn't Inception
win? I never leave the house. I haven't even seen anything.
Inception won sound editing. That should have won sound editing.
Sure.
I would have guessed that.
All right.
It's okay. I won for Denmark.
Oh, you won best foreign film?
For Denmark.
All right.
I voted based on people saying, hey, it's Denmark.
You know, I have that. This reminds me of the time Jerry Seinfeld got on stage at the Improv after the owner of the Improv did some jokes, and he goes, "I always think it's a good idea when the owner of the club tries to do comedy."
Oh dear,
that's what this is sort of like. He's here, so we have to put him on. Okay. You just got bumped. We have a much bigger name. Sorry, Ron. Thanks for coming.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric. I apologize for the delay.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm exhausted. You know how it is. Here's one thing I learned, Eric. Men don't, they don't buy the whole gay thing. They just don't. I just refuse to believe it. All right. Eric, some great stuff this week before we dive into right-wing world. I thought I was the only one talking about this unbelievable. This is one of our frustrations, isn't it, what the mainstream media covers or doesn't? So Representative Paul Braun, is that how you pronounce his name?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Republican of Georgia. A constituent stands up at a town hall and says, who's going to shoot President Obama?
Right.
And the guy doesn't condemn that. He doesn't say...
No, he doesn't. He doesn't miss a beat. He goes into this, sort of patented rhetoric about the upcoming elections and things like that.
Right.
Now, I think, to Politico's credit, they picked it up from a local Georgia newspaper, and that did give it some legs. But, typically if someone stands up at your town hall forum and said, who's going to shoot the president, you say, hey, that's sort of out of bounds. You alert the authorities. I mean, you don't just say, apparently, from the reports, the question generated laughs among the audience. This just goes back to the whole hateful, anti-government, sort of insurrectionist rhetoric that has been completely mainstreamed, where it's okay to joke. It's now okay to joke about assassinating the president at a town hall forum, and you'll know everyone will laugh, and your congressman will just sort of chuckle along.
Well, I mean, and what you point out is that a lot of times, too, in the conservative blogosphere, the reaction is it didn't happen.
Oh, yeah. Don't be an old house.
Right. She said that she'd only believe that if she saw the video. I mean, obviously Braun's office has confirmed it.
She wanted to see the video. It was very unlikely that it had happened. And her defense was, you know, what kind of people say these things? Why would anyone suggest, what rock has she been under for the last 2 years? People say this stuff all the time. It's mainstream conservative rhetoric talking about killing the president. She posted, oh, I don't think it happened. I want to see the proof. And as you said, you know, her staff confirmed it. The Secret Service looked into it. The congressman essentially apologized for not taking more forceful action.
Yeah. Eric, it's, you know, the discussion you and I always have is this as bad as it's ever been? And I would say yes. I mean, we've talked about them targeting the First Lady.
Yeah.
I mean, making fat jokes about the First Lady who's number one, gorgeous, and number two, you know, I mean, it just, they so have crossed the line. I mean, I was reading that, you know, people asking people to walk more. Some conservative pundits were saying that's why there's been more pedestrian fatalities Obama. Because people are walking too much.
Yeah, which was then proved to be complete. You know, they were claiming some government official said this, and the official said this is nonsense. Look, as we talked about a couple months ago, or actually last summer, you know, when she went on her vacation, and that was deemed beyond reproach that a first lady would go on vacation. Look, you know, Laura Bush, to her credit, used her platform as the first lady to push literacy among children, not just in the United States, but around the world.
Yeah.
I didn't hear any complaints about a nanny state from Michelle Malkin and Rush Limbaugh talking about how Laura Bush is trying to supplant the role of parents in America and she's trying to tell us what to do. It's always been completely out of bounds to take these partisan cheap shots against the First Lady for good reason, but they are now rewriting the rules, and so they see her as just another hack.
Yep. Eric, one last thing before we dive into Right Wing World, because as you know, we share a brain, and you complete me. You often write about things that have just been like, I was just thinking that, how this media storyline about Governor Chris Christie is a superstar.
Oh,
he's a superstar. It's like, and you point out he has the same approval rating as Obama.
Right.
How come we don't hear pundits talk, you know, celebrating how popular the president is.
Yeah, and what they do, and so this is a completely manufactured beltway phenomenon. I mean, the Washington Post had a poll, 8% of Republican voters would pick Chris Christie in the primary. He's not even, you know, a top-line candidate. He would lose to Obama in New Jersey by 20 points, according to a recent poll. But the pundits love to talk about how the people are responding to Chris Christie. And when they say the people, they mean the cocktail circuit.
They mean, the other pundits. They mean the other pundits in the Beltway. Exactly.
And look at the New York Times Magazine, you know, this profile on Chris Christie, which would have been interesting if it had been written, you know, last May. This is about the 15th one. New York Times a little late to this party. So 6,000-word profile on Chris Christie and how people are responding to him and all this nonsense. It's a parody at this point. And again, it's completely manufactured. Just like, you know, Senator Thune was a manufactured, oh, he might run. So just like Newt Gingrich milks this presidential run.
Well, listen, Governor Walker apparently is a rising conservative star. And you're going, you know, I mean, that's the other thing that kills me, Eric, is the way they're handling that and talking about, you know, these Democratic senators are not doing their job and it's like there's 100,000 people in Madison this weekend. Like, you know, isn't that the story, that this is really unprecedented?
Yeah, and the also story is Walker can't find a single other Republican governor in the entire country that'll back him up that wants to do with collective bargaining.
And by the way, and I think
they
it's
all
almost
think he's crazy for doing this. I guarantee you.
Almost in 70 other cities, there are protests. I mean, this is, you know, I mean, just anyway, I know that's our, you know, Fox News, it's predictable what's going to happen, but it's just when the mainstream media misses the big stories, I know it drives both of us.
Yeah, and the Sunday shows, and they invite all the Republican governors to explain them how unions work. It's always entertaining.
Let's dive into the Right Wing World, see what's doing. All righty. Yep, here we go. It's all about those 14 senators. Mike Huckabee on Fox and Friends.
The senators from Wisconsin have dishonored their very oath of office. Given under oath to uphold their constitution and statutes, they're doing neither. And I think it's very important to recognize that if they took a cue from President Obama, who, when he was sitting around talking to the Republicans in Obamacare, he said, "We won and elections have consequences." This just in, newsflash, the Republicans won in Wisconsin.
Oh, God. This, you know what? Joe Scarborough was making me insane this morning. Yeah. He was doing the same thing. You know, they're this false equivalency, Eric. He was saying, oh, the Democrats scream when the Republicans filibuster. It's like there is a difference between obstructing everything to an unprecedented degree for 2 years and taking a stand when there's 100,000 people in a Capitol protesting the same thing.
Yeah, a couple interesting points. Walker has been talking, and Republicans have been saying, well, look, he campaigned on this. Why is anyone surprised? This is exactly what he said he'd do.
Nope.
You can't overturn elections. And as a PolitiFact looked into, Walker did not campaign on this. His aides could not point to any instance entire fall campaign where he ever got up and said, oh, if I win, I'm going to sack collective bargaining.
Right.
So this is a total myth.
Well, and Eric, in the prank call, he admitted about dropping the bombshell.
And then I love the other one. You can't undo elections. Why are people? And this is sort of the larger talking point, not just Walker, but the Republicans won in November, so they should be able to do what they want.
Right.
And it's funny because Obama ran on reforming health care. He won an electoral landslide. And for 2 years, there was this right-wing freakout over health care. So when a Democrat actually campaigns on an issue, wins, and then tries to implement it, that is cause for a Tea Party revolution.
Well,
but when Walker doesn't campaign on something, tries to implement it, you're not supposed to question
right.
the election.
And they keep telling us what the people want. The people want. The people spoke.
Right.
It's like, you know what? The people in Madison are speaking pretty friggin' loud right now. And he's like, what? I don't hear anything. You go, oh, stop having your tantrum and come back now. You know?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, he was asked to leave a local restaurant over the weekend.
Who's that?
Walker, when he went in, he was booed, and then he was causing such commotion, he was asked to leave. So, if he sort of had the will of the people, I think he would be able to go out and show his face and have a meal at a restaurant.
Well, listen, when they won't serve you cheese in Wisconsin, you know you'd piss some people off.
Yeah.
Eric Bollert remains in the sidecar. We continue with Right Wing World. 17 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You just blew my mind.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Time.
That's right. Yeah, here it is. School's in. Brought to you by GoToMeeting this hour. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free. Check it out for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. Eric Bollert rejoins us in the midst of the right-wing world. Okay. Oh, here we go. It's the Chris Christie story, part two. This is Governor Mitch Daniels, Chris Wallace talking about it.
As states struggle with huge budget gaps and take on public workers, our first guest has become the new it boy of American politics. Republican Governor Mitch Daniels of Indiana is being celebrated for turning deficits into surpluses and adding jobs. And some are saying he should be the Republican nominee for president next year.
Some say.
and obviously this is Fox, so they're going to do it with Republicans. But in general, the Beltway Press really only does with these conservatives. They pick these people out and boost them and puff them up for weeks and months, and then this notion that they'd make a great presidential campaign. Mitch Daniels is not going to ever be president of the United States. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But that really doesn't have anything to do with it. It's sort of, you know, it's sort of like rotisserie baseball. It's just sort of this game they play. But they really love to play it with Republicans.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I guess, what do you call it? Governor Christie won't be a superstar just for one day. All right. Mike Tobin and Greg Jarrett on Fox News.
You know, Mike, I hate to put you into this situation because you're being surrounded there, and yeah, you're being heckled, and there is profanity and vulgarity. All right, but you know, why do they express such vitriol toward the media?
You know, I don't know what they intend to accomplish by it, but they definitely, as you can see, by covering up the cameras, they want to shut down the communication.
No, they didn't say the media. They said Fox News.
Yes.
I didn't hear any Washington. I didn't see any Washington Post demonstrations, et cetera. No, this is. I was just looking at some clips of this, and then later, over the, at some point in the week, when this reporter and Geraldo had like an on-air pity party, and the reporter talked about how these protesters hate free speech and they hate diversity of viewpoint, and he can see the hatred in their eyes, and you just have to laugh. I mean, this coming from someone who works for a station that essentially concocts hate on an hourly basis. They're stunned when they go out into their real world and they venture beyond their right-wing bubble that, you know what, people don't like them and they're going to express them with free speech.
Oh, my God. That was...
Yeah, it's been...
First of all, I didn't hear any obscenity. Well, the only obscenity I heard was Fox. I don't think...
Yeah. And did you hear in the middle of there, Mike Tobin says, oh, someone just hit me. Someone just hit me.
Yeah. Oh, sure. They did. Yeah. Those violent thugs, you know.
That later became he was assaulted. If you go on the blogosphere, they... Oh. You know, look, no one should be hitting any reporters or anything like that. But it's kind of unusual if you're a TV reporter with a camera and you're claiming or your allies are claiming you're assaulted, that there should probably be some video of that, but there there hasn't been, so right-wing bloggers are this whole thing, the right-wing blogosphere is obsessed with finding, you know, this violence that they can't really find.
I know.
Playing the victim.
One of my listeners in Madison sent me the most hilarious protest sign. It looked like her like little 8-year-old blonde son was carrying a sign that says Union Thug. Holding a lollipop.
Yeah.
All right. You could probably write this yourself, Eric. Glenn Beck on whatever.
We are facing powerful evil that we haven't seen in the world.
Blah, blah, blah.
You think ever? Yeah, not in our generation.
Not ever, no.
I mean, when, you know, back in the 30s, I think people fought it and saw it, but it's
worse than 1980 when we finally recognized together that we had a very serious threat to freedom.
Huh? What? Was that Carter? Wait a minute. Did we jump from Hitler to Carter?
I think you might have meant communist, but, you know.
Oh, I see.
And I think he's talking about the school teachers in Wisconsin who are teaming up with the radical Islamists and in Tripoli or something.
Sure. Exactly. Okay. I think we can all understand the connections there.
Yeah, and the danger.
All right. Charles Payne on Cavuto.
We definitely need fossil fuels. We should be taking advantage of all the fossil fuels that we have right now. We need to build a bridge, a real legitimate financial bridge to solar and wind, not this force-fed stuff. And by the way, what's going to kill our economy more than anything else is this green energy policy. Huh? We're not going to be able to compete. We're not going to be able to power our economy to compete over the next 20 years. China's taking all the resources out there.
Wow, that's forward thinking. We need to use more fossil fuels, not less. I see.
Well, of course, they're using, you know, the turmoil in the Middle East to always go back to drill. I mean, that's always the fallback position. We need to drill, drill, drill.
Yeah.
So it makes complete sense, and folks on Fox News and Fox Business News, you know, they want more, they want more roads built so we can drive more cars. They don't want mass transit. They don't want green energy or anything.
Fox
like
Business
that.
Channel is one big commercial for the American Petroleum Institute.
All right. Only one crazy right-wing woman could really understand what another crazy right-wing woman is actually doing.
Oh?
In this case, Ann Coulter on Sarah Palin.
I love Sarah Palin. I wrote the Conservative of the Year for Human Events, Ronald Reagan's favorite newspaper, on Sarah Palin when she was the vice presidential candidate. The only reason I inadvertently voted for McCain was because Sarah Palin was on the ticket. But she is so huge right now. She has so much power. She sends out a Twitter on death panels, and she shuts down the health care debate.
How about Sarah Palin? Would you support her?
I think it would be a step down for her to run for president.
But if she's leaving the door open and said very specifically she's considering.
I think she's saying that because she also said Newt Gingrich told her you get higher speaking fees if you pretend you're running for president, which is why Newt pretends to run every 4 years.
Wow. She kind of threw Sarah Palin and Newt Gingrich under the bus there.
Well, yeah, but it's funny, you watch all... I saw a report over the weekend. Newt is now 10 days away from announcing whether he's going to form a committee. This has been the longest running joke ever.
I'm on the edge of my seat, yeah.
But the Palin thing stuff is interesting. I mean, I think we talked about this. The air has just completely gone out of that balloon. It's interesting. that she obviously no longer really has the draw. You know, Dana Milbank famously, the Washington Post, said he wasn't going to write about Sarah Palin for the entire month of February, and it turns out that wasn't really much of a sacrifice. I think everyone is just sort of sick and tired of her.
Yep. Eric, out of time. Just the best. Read his tweets. As Chris says, he twists the knife with a smile on his face in his tweets. Eric Bowler from Media Matters. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now, 1-800-STEPH-12.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. So those all y'all in the chat room?
Yes, and the Ustream?
Yeah, that are watching. You can actually see the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Wave high, Ron.
As he looms over me here.
Looming is the operative word.
This is how you can tell someone's not actually a radio personality when they say things like, we can just banter among ourselves. Okay, I'll handle this. Thank
you. Cool.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, by the way, is the website. You can email us all there. Not him, but the rest of us that are actual on-air personalities.
Actually, I think his email address is on the website.
Oh, all right. Then you can. All right. He thinks it would be funny. He wants to say that we had sex last night because he's staying at my house.
Yeah.
Because he thinks his wife would think that's hilarious if she's listening back in New York.
She's spinning right now.
I think his wife could take you, Stephanie.
I'm exhausted, and I have one more night of this that I've got to survive.
His wife will cut you.
No, I know. Listen, she's in shape. All right. Jeff in Salem, Massachusetts says, Steph, I have an idea for a mid-season replacement for 2.5 Men.
Oh.
Put good guy Anthony Weiner into a room with John Boner and Scott Walker, and you get a Weiner, a wanker, and a boner. That's true, but really immature.
Yeah.
I don't even know why I read that.
Did you see that Charlie Sheen is on Good Morning America this morning?
Oh, dear God.
And he
now
said,
what?
And he said, yes, he's on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen. He says that.
Really?
Just that way, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. And I guess he's on the Today Show this morning, too.
Was his army marching behind him? The million-person army that's behind him because he's...
I don't know, but he's appearing with two porn stars that he lives with.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, I'm a drunk, but at least I don't shut the show down so you guys don't get paid.
That's true.
I show up no matter how drunk I am.
Chris will always get paid.
Aw.
Why? Is his microphone going to be on the whole morning?
Yes.
He owns the microphone.
All right, Chip. He could just shut this whole little jalopy down.
He really
down.
Could.
All right. All right. Chip, right, Steph, on Meet the Press, Haley Barbour admits Wisconsin unions are accepting needed pay cuts to deal with the budget shortfalls, but he says that's just for 1 year. Hey, Mr. Barbour, that's how we budget annually.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what a budget is. It's an annual.
And he's in charge of Mississippi's budget?
I couldn't watch Meet the Press. You have to come to my house and show me how to operate my TiVo. Have it. It's TiVo, and I don't know how to watch it back. Someone a long time ago programmed it, and I don't know how you get the things out of the thing. How do you get the things out of the...
You hit play.
I don't know how to get to it. I don't know how to get to the menu of the things that I have recorded.
Oh, you don't have a TiVo. You have like the DVR.
Yes,
the
it's in the cable box. It's
yes,
in there.
You have the cable box DVR. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. So you hit list, which should be a green button in
the
middle.
We could probably do this off air.
Yeah,
but
let's
do
it off air.
All right, thanks.
There's certain things you shouldn't admit.
Oh, here's another thing I shouldn't admit. Okay, this is how my sad little life is. So not only, as you pointed out, I get invited sometimes to fancy Hollywood things.
Yeah.
But then I can't find anyone to go with me.
Right.
I actually had to fly. He had to fly in from New York so that I had someone to go with me to the fancy Hollywood party.
That's sad.
Yeah. But then I, as you know, sleep alone. So I forced Max to snuggle with me last night during when I finally locked him out. So, you know.
Right. So he couldn't.
To prevent him from trying to have sex with me or kill me, which went on all night long. Sometimes I force my dog to snuggle. Max, as you know, is the biggest dog in the universe.
Right.
And so the only rule in my house is the dogs must never be moved ever. So then when he does come up to snuggle, I have like this much space and no covers. And so then I spent the rest of the night like that, cowering, hoping that Ron wouldn't get a battering ram and knock my door down while I snuggled under half a piece of my life.
Let's just say the dogs and I had a grand time also.
Is he trying to sound creepy or
yes.
what? Okay. And, you know, Mama has the smartest listeners in the world. Andrea in Texas writes, Steph, why does the federal government refer to Social Security and Medicare as entitlements? I'm 50 years old, and I've been on Social Security for 11 years. Entitlement sounds like I'm waiting for a large inheritance after my aging parents pass away. We paid into the government plan, so why aren't they referred to as obligations? Anyway, if there's an answer for this, I'd love to know. But for now, can we at least call it what it is, an insurance plan I was obligated to pay into, which obligates the government to meet its part of the bargain?
Yep.
Thank you, Andrea. You're the smartest girl in class.
I've always hated that word, entitlements.
Well, it's like they're trying to, you know, divide, like, oh, union people and taxpayers. Hey, guess what? Union people pay taxes, too.
Yep.
It's like, and this is the deal we made with them, which we're essentially welching on now.
Yeah.
We're saying, yeah, we know you took less pay so that you would get this now, but now you're not going to get this now. And they're saying, okay, but don't take away our right to ever negotiate. I mean, it just is stunning. Even the way the media covers this. Like, now they're trying to make it a bit that the 14 Democratic senators are doing the wrong thing. There's 100,000 people. These protests, Chris, are not getting smaller. They're getting larger.
Yep.
I mean, it really is incredible, especially when you think about our attention span in America. The fact that, I mean, God bless all y'all great Americans.
Been doing it for 2 weeks
in
now.
In Madison. Yeah. And around the country. I mean, it's that's the other thing I didn't see covered anywhere. You know, it's been almost, I think, 68 cities had protests. We had one here in L.A., Hi. All right. And Governor Walker, meanwhile, said, I don't hear anything. He was on Meet the Press, I'm told.
If you could get it out of your DVR.
It's in there somewhere.
Oh, boy.
He said, he says the protests have not swayed him. He said the 2 weeks of protest haven't swayed his resolve to eliminate collective bargaining rights for most public employees. He said stripping the workers of collective bargaining rights is necessary to give the state the flexibility to get its finances in order. Hey, I call bull on that. Governor Walker, yes.
Enough time has passed. It's time to come back and have a vote on this measure.
Could he be more patronizing? Seriously. Like, these 100,000 people are just...
You've thrown your tantrum.
Yeah. Now, stop spinning on your back. Get back in the car. You know, it's mm-hmm. insulting.
It is.
All right. By the way, Wisconsin State Senator, what's his name? Who cares? One of the...
Glenn Grothman.
Yeah, one of
federal employees, for example, have no collective bargaining, and already about half of the state employees are non-union.
So?
Yes, exactly. I love these false analogies they keep throwing out. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Steph. Hey, Chris. You know what no one's brought up, and I realize it's a rhetorical question. It's almost a third rail, but why don't all the states in the United States remove the tax exemption status of religious organizations, at least until the fiscal crisis has passed? And the states that aren't in the red, they could use that money for infrastructure projects.
Yeah. And
you know, no one's even brought this up. Instead of dismantling unions, and Obama has literally brought up the protests in Egypt and Libya more than he has in Wisconsin, and this is his base.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people talking about this, Mike, and he has said that, you know, I mean, he did speak out about this, but you're right, once, right?
Yeah, he's as quiet as a popcorn fart about it, though. He does it, you know, once every week he'll drop a breadcrumb about it.
Yeah, well...
What's a popcorn fart?
It's really quiet.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. I thought I was an aficionado of every kind of fart humor, and I'm
popcorn
like...
Fart?
I'm like, what? I've never heard of that. Okay. Joe in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. I did a little research on that election.
Yeah.
About a little over 2 million people voted in Wisconsin, which is probably about 37% of the registered voters. He won by 43,000 votes. He won by 2%. And if you do the math, mm-hmm. that's about 43,000 votes. What the Republicans have never figured out is, and I think Obama has figured it out, and he takes a lot of crap for it, but that you are the representative of all the people, not just the people that put you in. So over 1 million people in Wisconsin voted for somebody else other than Scott Walker. But
right.
they don't matter to the Republicans.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Joe, what's your take on the president? I mean, to me, I almost feel like this is sort of speaking for itself. I mean, it seems like in some way he's trying to stay out of it in the sense that, you know, every state has to handle their own business. He came right out and said this is wrong, and they're trying to break the unions. And you know, but I what do you think he should do?
Well, I think what he should do is start reading Roosevelt's speeches when he talked mm-hmm. about the capitalistic people and these people are in bed with the corporations. That's the populist view. If you want to sweep back into office and you want to throw these bums out, everybody hates the corporations. So mm-hmm. we should be proactive as Democrats. These are corporatist Republicans.
Yeah.
It's about corporate America,
and they,
it's not about workers.
And unfortunately, they have that clip of him during the campaign saying that, you know, he would get on his comfortable shoes and go walk with them if this happens. So
we all need to send him a pair of shoes. What size is it? And we'll inundate the White House with comfortable shoes.
Yeah. How about some Mephisto shoes?
That's right. How about from Great Lakes Mephisto?
Yes.
In the greater Chicago area. Yeah, they are comfortable shoes, by the way.
They really are comfortable shoes.
Thank
I love
you,
those
Mephisto
shoes. Thank
you, Great Lakes.
Yes.
And all our proud sponsors. Let's go to Charles in L.A. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, Stephanie, you're right when you say union workers pay taxes. In fact, they pay more taxes than Exxon, Citigroup,
that's
and
right.
Bank of America.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, somebody made that analogy that
you have more money in your wallet right now than Bank of America paid in taxes last year.
Yeah, think about it. Oh, all right. Well, Charles is done with us. He'll take no further questions. Thank you.
He was listening to his answer off the air.
Apparently he forgot to hang up. Dennis in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dennis.
Hey, Steph, two things real quick. Wisconsin's got a goofy budget system. We have a biennial budget, so they set the budget for 2 years.
Oh, okay.
It's weird. It's the weirdest damn thing to work with. The other thing, I live in wonderful West Bend, Wisconsin, which is the home of Glenn Grossman. He has been so out of touch, and he doesn't have a clue. But this is the most conservative county in Wisconsin, and this guy has no clue. I am in my business, have to deal with him, and he jumped. I'm an accredited union, and he jumped all over us that we give loans to people for cars because why don't people know they should pay cash for cars? He has
Dennis,
no clue that working families can't do that.
Yeah. What is the feeling on what our last caller just said? What's the feeling there in Wisconsin about whether the president should be, you know, doing more, saying more, showing up there? I mean, my only other take on that, too, would be he's got kind of a lot going on between Egypt and Libya and everything else going on. What do you think?
I would be nice for you. I don't know if he has to show up here. He's got a lot going on. But I wish he would
say more.
Support it a little more. Say, if nothing else, for the labor base that he's going to need in 2012. Right now, here in Wisconsin, the university staffs, most of the universities don't have unions. And at least two of these universities are going to be announcing that they're unionizing all because of this Walker stuff. So I think the unions are going to be energized that he should be working with them a little more.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it. All right. Oh, speaking of which, Michael Goodwin, president of the Office and Professional Employees International Union, joins us next hour to talk about all of this and update us what's happening in Wisconsin. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is Too Weird, Man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a very kinky girl. The kind you don't think called to mother. That girl is really kinky.
Girl's a super freak.
She's a super freak. Super freak. She's super freaky now.
You know, you may be right, Chris. Putting the guy on that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, putting him on the air today, might have been the second worst creative decision after putting Kirk Douglas on the air. Second most awkward show business.
It's good to see that he's still alive.
Yes.
However,
a little awkward.
He really shouldn't have been leering at Anne Hathaway like that.
Everybody at the Oscar party we were at was like, ooh, oh no.
And the way he drew out the award announcement.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, no, 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 no.
No.
Oh, no, 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 no.
No, no, no.
Oh, dear. Okay. That was, okay. I thought Anne Hathaway was good.
I loved Anne Hathaway.
Everyone's saying James Franco sucked. I don't know.
I don't think so. I thought they had really good chemistry, and I thought
He's cute. I don't know. But when Billy Crystal came out, it was kind of like, oh, all right, well, that's the way it should be.
No. That to me is old school. I thought Anne Hathaway and James Franco made the ceremony very young feeling. I thought they did
Hollywood
a really
Reporter
good job.
Hollywood Reporter said the worst Oscar telecast in history.
Of course
I know.
They did, because they're insiders.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked it.
I did, too. I liked it a lot.
I liked it when Bob Hope came out.
All right, you see what I'm saying about how this is just awkward and uncomfortable, and thank God Jim Warren will be here any minute we can kick him out. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Oh, that's right, he might be late as usual, and then the guy that owns the show can cut his pay for, you know, for
Jim,
today.
Jim, take your time. I know there's traffic.
Wow, well, this is an interesting headline in the LA Times. Americans plead against GOP cuts. As it turns out, now that people are understanding what they're actually cutting, they're like, wait, what?
Hey, you can't do that.
Yes, as we often say, Americans spoke with one voice in the midterms when they said, brr! They don't really know. They were mad something, and you're cutting what?
No, they were told to be mad about something.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Let's start with Stephanie in Illinois. Hi, Steph.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Two things. I live in Illinois, and I know the weather in Wisconsin is the most horrible time, so these people must be serious to be in Wisconsin during this time of year.
Yeah.
Secondly, does anybody realize how many sick kids come to school with their little things running out their nose? The teachers need the best health care in the world to keep teaching.
That's true. That's true. You know, those little rugrats, they're little germ wagons, aren't they?
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes, they are.
Oh, yeah, I remember once, the only time I've ever had like an exorcist kind of flu. Have you ever had that one? The projectile kind of flu?
No.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I got that from some little germ wagon.
My friend went,
oh, my baby had that. Remember, because they were visiting me the week before. I'm like, yeah, I know.
What are you doing going around licking babies?
I wasn't licking the baby. The baby was near me, and the baby some sort of, oh. All right.
Don't you have to lick a baby in order to get that kind of flu?
No! I've never licked a baby. Lori in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lori.
Hi, guys. You know what? This is so much more than about Wisconsin unions and collective bargaining now. I mean, you know, the rallies on Saturday, in my opinion, you know, this is nationwide. This is about, you know, we're anti-corporation, we're anti-Citizens United, we're anti-Wall Street, we're anti, we want election reform.
I think Chris made a really good point that you have more money in your wallet right now than Exxon, than Bank of America, mm-hmm. than you name it, paid in taxes last year. Part of why you have this deficit in Wisconsin is because he gave away more corporate tax breaks.
Exactly.
Right.
You know what? And the thing is, who would have thought a prank phone call, would bring down a governor? And believe me, he will be brought down. He is being investigated and take on the Koch brothers the way it has. Ian Murphy is a hero.
Yep. Oh, I know. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. A Democratic Wisconsin state senator.
Until they take this backwards budget bill off the table, there's nothing to really go back to.
Yeah. I mean, if you ask me, these people are heroes. They're listening to the will of the people. You cannot ignore 100,000 people. Chris, this is for 2 weeks now.
Right.
This is not going away, you know, and they try to, like, as I was saying earlier, compare it to the Republicans filibustering everything President Obama tried to do for no reason than just to, other than just to obstruct it, to use filibusters in a completely unprecedented way, provably so by the numbers, and this is people taking a principled stand about something that is causing enormous public outcry.
I would like to see the president come to Madison.
Yeah, at this point I would too.
Yeah.
The final day of the DNC's winter meeting turned into a rally for the public workers of Wisconsin, even demonstrating the standoff with Scott Walker has galvanized labor and liberals. If there is a silver lining in this, the fight is on, said Labor Secretary Hilda Solis. We work together. We help those embattled states right now where public employees are under assault. It was a moment of unity and passion that the party has lacked in the months leading up to and since the Democrats pounding in the midterm elections. I mean, that's what I keep saying, Chris. Mm-hmm. I think this, if there is a good thing, it is really wakening the sleeping giant that elected Obama in the first place. Regardless of how Wisconsin plays out, what's clear from the display today is that Scott Walker has handed us a gift, according to one Democratic official. He took a deflated, fractured party coming out of 2010. And as evidenced by what we saw in this room, has given us a unified, energized, motivated base. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, our friend, the congresswoman from Florida, said in an interview she couldn't recall seeing Democrats so energized and unified in a long time. So thank you, Governor Wanker. Thank you. Let's go to Stephanie in Madison. Hi, Steph.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You know, my opinion is I don't want the president here. I don't want him to cause a distraction from our efforts. But But
well, that I mean, some people, Stephanie, have said that. They've said that, you know, the president can't get involved in every state, that, you know, he's sort of trying to stay out of it. But this is becoming not just a Wisconsin thing don't you think?
But the thing is, we are speaking out loudly, and we are speaking to him and everybody else. And what we need is him to come out and support our efforts verbally. I don't know if he needs to do a road trip, but
right.
I don't necessarily want the distraction here in Wisconsin. We want our voices heard, and we want to stop the wanker.
Right, right.
You know, that's...
Right. By the way, is it my imagination or am I responsible for most of the immature signs I'm seeing in Madison?
Yes, you are. You started it. I kept it going, and it's caught on. It's, you know, I barely know her.
People keep sending me signs that are direct related to our show. And then
I love it.
Yeah, and then Mama's getting a shout-out, I guess.
Yep.
So thank you, Madison.
And we need you to come back here. We need some laughs, man.
I would love
this
to.
It's just painful. But, you know, I've seen a bunch of things so far and, you know, shows. And
I hear you, honey. All right, thank you. I would, except the guy that owns the show is too cheap, so you can give me a bus ticket to Madison. Otherwise, I would. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, not since they switched Darren's have the people in Ustream been so confused. Oh, thank God we've switched out the guy that owns the show is trying to kill me for the life insurance money with Jim Ward. Oh, Jim Ward is here. All right. Finally, a professional broadcaster. No offense, Ron!
They were wondering if Ron was going to break into his Yertle the Turtle impressions.
All right. StephanieMiller.com is the website. Jim Ward's been snowboarding in the valley all weekend.
Well,
it snowed in the San Fernando Valley.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There was snow and hail. And Janice and I went on a bike ride yesterday so we can get a good look at the snow. There was one shot right near the subway station in North Hollywood where you saw massive snow and palm trees in front of it. It was a great shot. Wish I'd had a camera.
Awesome. Hey, snow angels. Yay.
So probably not as snowy as, where you were.
Where?
Palm
Springs? Who was where?
No, I mean, there was
Never mind.
The snow on the mountains circling Palm Springs.
Right,
but no snow in Palm Springs.
All right. StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice diggity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Wendy in New Hampshire did staff. I just read that Kathleen Parker is leaving Parker Spitzer. I can't say Parker Spitzer anymore.
No.
Parker, I just spitzed her.
Exactly.
Is that who you are? What'd you do?
Doesn't Miller Spitzer have a nice ring?
It does, actually.
Plus, the show is a little, shall we say, dull. I bet fart jokes from a failed vice presidential candidate Wolfchild would enliven it. Hello, CNN. 1-800-STEP-12. Give me a call. All right. I have one hate letter, one love letter. I guess I'll have my hate letter music, please. Well, you know, a lot of times it's not hate mail, Chris. It's just befuddlement.
Yeah, they're confused.
It's general befuddlement from people that stumble upon the show. Somebody named MB. I think it's Mike. Mm. Subject line, listen to your show and my thoughts. And that never usually is a good sign. And then how does it start?
Dear sir.
No.
Oh.
Hello.
Oh,
when
hello.
It starts hello,
hello.
I just...
Yeah. Hello.
I've stumbled across your station.
It's just no greeting or salutation, just hello. Hello. I am a conservative and tend to listen to conservative news broadcasts.
Really?
See, right away, this is not...
Never could have seen that coming.
But I thought that was narrow-minded of me, so I decided to listen to your show whenever I could for 2 weeks. I find your points of views interesting and thought-provoking, but I find the format of your show too chaotic to sustain my concentration and learn differing points of view. That's what it is. It's controlled chaos. That's what we're shooting for.
Not even so much controlled.
Really?
Yeah.
You want Tom Hartman, basically.
Yes. Too distracting, and it minimizes the seriousness of the issues. Well, yes, that's that is the point of the show, is to minimize the seriousness of the issues and to be chaotic. Yeah. So he gets it, at least.
Sure.
He just doesn't care for it.
Okay.
I don't really care for Mitch McConnell being presented as a turtle or some sort of...
I don't
reptilian.
Understand, but he is in fact a man. He is not a turtle. I don't understand why that is funny.
Oh, I have never seen him eating lettuce.
Oh, then we're not the show for him.
I don't think John Boehner really cries that much. Well, unless you're paying attention. Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
And he's not really orange. Oh, wait, he is.
That. I also believe sometimes your sarcasm is too cruel and outright lies. My sarcasm lies?
What?
My sarcasm lies. References to Russia's weight is not only mean-spirited, but an outright lie. Well, no, it's
no, it's not. No.
I believe I was commenting on the, you know.
Well, when he comments on Michelle Obama's physique.
Yes, exactly. He leaves himself open.
His weight
he makes himself
under
kind
scrutiny.
Of a wide target, so to speak.
Very wide.
Yes. So that's really not a lie. Russia's, shall we say, a little zafted. Not a lie.
I think he's more than Zaftig.
My sarcasm is being cruel, however, in pointing it out.
He's more than Zaftig.
Okay.
Zaftig literally means
right.
juicy, like
and
a
now
roast.
A love,
like a roast? Roast. Okay. Yeah.
And now a love letter, just to balance
aww.
Things out. Mina from Seattle. Staff, your show is fantastic.
Aww.
Oh, now that's more like it.
Yes.
And here's the best part. I'm a podcast survivor, $4.95 a month.
Survivor? You said podcast survivor.
Subscriber. Many, many people have survived the podcast.
It's not a reality show.
Oh, God.
Some people have barely, actually, some people have barely survived the podcast.
I know.
We have stories of people driving off the road laughing or things
exactly.
like that. As far as I know, yikes, as far as I know, everyone has survived the podcast. Maybe there's one, I don't know.
Uh-oh.
Maybe some conservatives' heads exploded when they accidentally purchased the podcast.
I'm a podcast subscriber, $4.95 a month, because as a Libra, I tend to overcommit. Oh, don't I know it. Your show makes my morning and afternoon commute something to look forward to, rather than dread. My fellow commuters on the bus think I'm crazy, because I occasionally laugh out loud while listening. That's the point of the podcast, to make you look crazy. All right, thank you for that, Mina. Oh,
new people
hello.
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 I'm a conservative and just stumbled across your show.
They're not good at greetings and salutations, right-wingers.
No.
I don't know why.
Does your mom start her emails like that?
Mrs. Miller, something. You'd think just some sort of... Hello. Yeah, actually, she does.
She does? Hello,
Steffi,
Ms. Miller.
Steffi, I have a bone to pick with you.
Oh, boy.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12 is the phone number. Vince in California on the ongoing rallies in Madison and elsewhere. Hello, Vince.
Great timing. Hey, I'm up here in wine country in Sonoma County.
Ooh,
and,
nice.
I think we... The wine country, that's what I thought with Pet Steph here. But I actually think... Obama should show up, but it doesn't have to be Wisconsin. There were 68 other cities that had some rallies, and I think we should start a campaign, either like email a picture of some shoes or tape a coupon out of the paper to a postcard and send it, or actually send it some shoes and see if we can't get them out there.
Yeah, all right. Well, I think it is. I mean, now it's becoming, I think, a larger national issue. I mean, I was saying, you know, earlier, Jim, I don't know what you think. I understand you can't, I mean, presidents generally don't get involved in every state issue, particularly when there's a lot going on internationally, but you know, this is not just a state issue anymore.
It's spreading to other states.
To me, it's a moral and ideological battle, you know.
And you can't sit it out.
A Democratic Wisconsin State Assemblywoman.
You know what? If you never voted before, I bet you will now.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Thank you, Governor Wanker! Let's go to Peggy in Wisconsin. Hi, Peg.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I have two comments I would like to make. Number one, when Obama talked about going out on the line with the workers, he was talking about a strike. We are not having a strike. We are having a peaceful demonstration.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And secondly, my second comment is this. He didn't say, yes, I can. He said, yes, we can.
Mm-hmm.
It's not time for him yet.
It's not time for him yet? What do you mean?
For him to come to Wisconsin.
Oh, it's not time. It's not time yet?
No.
Oh.
There hasn't been a strike yet.
Oh, I see. All right. Okay. By the way, in a speech earlier this month at the CSPACL, that thing, conservative political action. I never get that right.
I know.
The Americans for Prosperity, that's a teabaggy group, Michigan executive director, revealed the true goal of his group and its allies, like Governor Scott Walker's efforts. Speaking at his panel, the CPAC's panel for labor policy, he said the Americans for Prosperity, what they really want to do is, quote unquote, take the unions out at the knees. So this was, hello, I mean, this is what you heard on this phone call, this prank call. I mean, this has always been the plan.
Without unions, only one side of the equation is prosperous. So,
and by the way,
well, that's the point.
Yeah,
talk
I
about
know.
People saying, "Oh, well, you know, there's Tea Party people there too." It's like, yeah, there are 100,000 union backers in the Capitol, and there's a handful of teabaggers that the Koch brothers paid to bus in.
Right.
So to have Walker keep going on television and going, "Oh, well, a lot of these people aren't even from here," it's like get the people protesting.
Right,
you
exactly.
are.
But,
okay, let's go to Andy in Madison. Hi, Andy. Welcome.
I'm a conservative, Stephanie.
Okay.
I've got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, jeez. What,
no,
Mom?
No, I'm just kidding. you know, I've been to the protest just about every day and since they started, and no one's clamoring for President Obama to come down and speak. I mean, that's just not what people are hearing or saying on the ground.
Yeah, that, you know what, I was going to say, Andy, that to me has seemed more like a media thing once again. You know, it's the David Gregorys, they got to look like they're looking at both sides, so they play the clip. And I've heard a lot of the Democratic senators ask that, and you're right, they don't seem to necessarily feel that either. They seem to feel like it's their fight right now.
Yeah, I mean, when things are going bad for President Obama in right before the midterm elections, and he needs to go somewhere to be in front of beautiful crowds that love him and the whole country gets to see it, he comes to Madison, and that's great. And we will always welcome him back. We're like his old college girlfriend that will give him validation whenever he needs it. But nobody really like is clamoring for him to come back here. I think a lot of us would really like to hear him say something positive and comment about how the people have risen up and made their voice heard and have been doing it for 2 weeks now. But I, you know, the one thing that's on the ground, the one thing that you hear most people grumbling about in a very positive atmosphere is that the media is just getting this wrong day after day after day.
Yep. That's my frustration too.
There's one Hitler,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, the David Gregorys of the world make it seem like that's the biggest issue, is they make it a negative for the president rather than this beautiful thing that you guys have done and are doing every day there.
Yeah, the one other Hitler sign I saw yesterday was, Hitler signs are never appropriate unless you're a time traveler going back to actually protest Hitler.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and other than that, and one other one, it's just not what the message is about. The message is mostly about collective bargaining rights and how people are trying to take rights away from hardworking people in Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, like Hitler did. Not in Wisconsin. Well, yeah.
All right. And Andy, thanks for confirming that Madison is President Obama's hollaback girl. I appreciate that. All right. Madison's the old college girlfriend.
No, but
she'll always answer the booty call, apparently, is what his point was.
Do you have an old college girlfriend you could call?
I'm guessing she wouldn't enter my booty call.
Let's not go there. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. Sadly, I had college boyfriends.
Oh.
Yikes.
Oh, dear.
They wouldn't answer.
If the well runs dry, you always have them.
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Nonstop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay, so you're...
Stephanie Miller.
That don't impress me much.
What does it take to impress her?
I don't know. She is persnickety. Jim, you missed a very disturbing conversation during the break. The guy that owns the show walked in here and started sexually harassing me, as he does, and Chris looked at me and said, "Do you need to put out, do you think?" And I said, well, it depends on how dire things get.
Will that help the show?
Many people think I get the show in the first place, so I might as well go ahead and do it.
Sure, why not?
Thank you for offering me up. I appreciate
it. Sure. Mrs. Guy, who owns the show, wants to kill you for the insurance money, is very pleased with that.
Yes, she thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like I said earlier, she'll cut you.
She will cut a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah, she will.
With her fingernails.
Okay. All right. Phil in Palm Springs.
Wolverine.
Says, Steph, did you see that CNN this weekend reported demonstrations in Wisconsin of 70,000 people, some for, some against?
God. It's all equal.
Yeah, it's all the same. Yeah.
It's all the same. We'll have to leave it there.
Just a bunch of people screaming about stuff.
Oh, my God.
God.
What's the point of CNN anymore? My God.
Parker Spitzer. Oh, no, it's not. That's not it.
No.
Piers Morgan? No.
No.
They need something with a little zest.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, Jim, I'm not saying that.
A little zip.
Yeah.
A little spunk.
No, what? There's too much opinion on this show.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
I'd have to tone down my opinions.
You have to tone down your opinions and your rhetoric and pretty much just...
Just
if you can't
you.
Say something nice, don't say anything at all.
I think an executive actually said that to me during my failed late-night TV show.
What?
They actually advertised me as this, you know, outrageous...
Edgy.
Edgy late-night show, and then they said,
that's too edgy.
You need to be a little less. Outrageous. You're too outrageous. And I'm like, but it says it on the thing that you remember.
Maybe that's why it failed.
Yeah, I know. They said, we love everything you do on your radio show. No, don't do any
that.
Of that. Don't do
that.
Any of that.
No. That
don't was... do... There's too much something.
That was Disney, wasn't it?
Hmm?
That was Disney, wasn't it?
Yes. All right. Because Rob Reiner and I were actually talking last night about the Oscar host thing.
Yeah.
When they were going like the anti-Ricky Gervais, right? They were like...
Gervais.
Gervais.
Like Anne Hathaway said she's not going to make fun of anybody. And I'm like, well, that just doesn't seem like it's going to go well.
I thought she was completely charming.
Yeah,
I thought
she was cute. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, my point is that was my favorite television executive note ever. They said, do you have to make fun of things?
Yes.
And the head writer was like, well?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Comedy needs to have targets.
That executive wasn't well-versed in what you did.
No. No.
Comedy.
And they hired you.
Most people
comedy.
That have hired me had no idea what they did. No idea what
I was. But you have, like, tape.
I know. All right.
Explain to me this funny. What is funny?
Amy in Toledo. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Amy.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. Love your controlled chaos.
Thank you. Thank you.
I wanted to say that first thing.
Some days I make no effort to control it, by the way, as you know.
Yes. I like it.
Thanks.
So, anyway, I wanted to say first that I tried to call the day you were talking about Kenneth Mars, and I just wanted to say I put in a plug for What's Up, Doc, one of my favorite movies with him in it.
Oh, my God. That is one of the funniest movies ever made.
Oh, I know. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Oh, the guy, because I loved him with the fake arm in Young
but
Frankenstein.
But he was in What's Up, Doc, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was really great. He was this really obnoxious music doctor or something.
Right.
Anyway, what I wanted to say is I love the people in Wisconsin. Thank you. I live in Ohio, where our governor says if you're not on his bus, he'll run you over.
Wow.
But I wanted to say collective bargaining is not just about wages and benefits. It's about protecting workers, and they keep throwing out the line, well, there's laws to protect workers, but laws, if you want to protect your job because you got fired unjustly, will take a long, 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 long time. And unions can step in and say, well, what are your reasons for wanting to let this person go? And, you know, it's a much shorter
Oh, those pesky unions always demanding reasons for people getting fired and things like that.
Right. So that's what my point
yep.
should be, Stephanie.
Yep.
Thank you. Love your show.
All right. Love you, too. And that's a shame about the bus thing, because you have to take the bus in Ohio because he killed the train.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
Sadly for them, bus is the only option.
What a moron.
I know. Matt in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Matt.
Hello. Hello, Steph.
Hi.
I was there last night in Madison doing a little Ground Zero class warfare reporting. I run a little cable access TV program, public access TV program. And what I noticed when they were all leaving the Capitol, they were saying they were going to close the Capitol up and take all the protesters out. And what happened was I found somebody that was in there. I was right in front of the Capitol, and she said that she told us on camera that they basically tried to divide. They divided up the groups. They said, if you're planning on staying here, you need to go over here, and then if you're planning on leaving the Capitol, because they were reporting over the PA system at four at 4 p.m. It was closing. Well, a bunch of them walked out, but over 200 of them stayed in.
Yeah.
And they told them that they would get peacefully arrested, that they were staying, and they would get peacefully arrested. So basically, they didn't know what to do, and I guess they had a little conference, and they decided to let them stay.
Yep.
Because they were acting so peaceful. In fact,
yep.
They were so peaceful that
yeah.
they
no, I'm telling you, what's been right. happening in Madison, it's the best of America these last couple mm-hmm. of weeks. It is really inspiring.
But they attacked those Fox News reporters.
Uh-huh.
I'd hate to see that reporter reporting from a war zone.
Did you love that
guy? I mean,
if that
bothered him so much.
They're chanting Fox lies, yeah. And the guy goes, why do they hate the media so much?
That hurts
they don't
my
hate
feelings.
The media.
They hate you.
Yeah.
We can play that again.
You know, Mike, I hate to put you into this situation because you're being surrounded there, and yeah, you're being heckled, and there is profanity and
vulgarity.
My Why star. Do they express such vitriol toward the media?
You know, I don't know what they intend to accomplish by it, but they definitely, as you can see, by covering up the cameras, what? They want to shut down the communication.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck?
No. What they want to do is make you look ridiculous. Mission accomplished.
Oh, I'm so threatened by their profanity and vulgarity. I'm relying on the fainting couch on the veranda.
29 minutes after the hour, right back. Oh, with Union President Michael Goodwin next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Who hasn't made mistakes? I once French kissed a dog at a party to try to impress what turned out to be a very tall 12-year-old.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Michael Goodwin joins us now, president of the Office and Professional Employees International Union. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I am fine, and I have to say probably the most hilarious union speech I ever gave was to your group because you represent a bunch of podiatrists, and I was there right after I broke my foot.
That's right.
And when I said, is there a podiatrist in the house, they broke my other foot trying to get to me. Is that your phone or mine? I'm not sure what's going on. Can you hear, Michael?
I can hear you. Fine.
All right. Let's talk about what's going on in Wisconsin and elsewhere. Did you know there were almost 70 other rallies around the country this weekend?
Yes, it's really huge. And what I wanted to say was that, this is not just about labor rights. It's about civil rights.
That's right.
And this is the most inspiring. I was up there on Friday. And, we brought about 100 people from the local area and around the country, leaders, in to participate. And it was the most inspiring thing that I've ever seen in my entire life. I think this raises to the level of the fight led by Dr. Martin Luther King for civil rights.
Yep.
And, the enthusiasm, the commitment, the energy of the people was just so heartwarming. And while I was there, they announced that they were going to close the Capitol building on Saturday night, 6 o'clock, and throw everybody out.
Yep.
This is what Walker wanted. And the police, instead of throwing the protesters out, they offered to join them and to sleep in with them and wouldn't do it.
That's been the amazing and beautiful, really, solidarity, hasn't it? I mean, all the different unions, even the ones that the governor obviously exempted from this because they supported him. Have stood with their brothers and sisters, right?
Yeah, and, it's not just union brothers and sisters. It's everybody. The public is supporting the right of unions to maintain their collective bargaining by a 2-to-1 margin. So, obviously, we don't have 2-to-1 union brothers and sisters in Wisconsin, but the public sees what Walker is doing as not right. And yep. they are siding with the employees.
Well, that's absolutely true, because to my mind, I don't know what you think, Michael, but I don't feel like anyone has really put him on the spot and made him explain what this has to do with you know, him. He just keeps saying we're broke, we can't afford, and obviously the unions have already agreed to the concessions he's asking for. He has not explained to anybody's satisfaction, has he, why he needs to take away collective bargaining rights, what that has to do with anything fiscal.
And that's because there is no explanation. The idea of calling this a budgetary issue is false. This is nothing more than a group of Republican extremists getting together in various states and saying, look, let's get rid of the unions because in the politics they're too much of a problem for us, so let's eliminate them.
Right.
And that's the real issue.
Well, I mean, somebody was saying earlier, Michael, that it really is amazing that this governor could end up being brought down by a prank caller. But, I mean, that's the level of ridiculousness this has reached, that, you know, you really couldn't have paid someone to expose this more, could you?
No, you couldn't. You know, and it reminds me of Sarah Palin falling for that, during her campaign for vice president last year.
Right.
Thinking she was talking to a foreign person.
Right.
It doesn't matter. The truth would come out eventually, whether it comes out by a prank phone call or some other a prank phone call or some other way. But the truth is out. I mean, the mask is off. We now know exactly where he's going, what he wants to do, and it's to destroy the unions and destroy collective bargaining.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I mean about the prank calls. I mean, it really expose more serious things than that. I mean, obviously, law enforcement officials there are saying, you know, what does he mean? We considered putting troublemakers into the crowd. I mean, that to me, you know, certainly goes to the level of something, if not illegal, nearly illegal, right?
Oh, it's an impeachable offense.
Right.
You know, for elected public officials to say such a thing. And, you know, I wrote some columns back in the fall to union members saying, be careful what you wish for. You know, if you go back to the fall, there was a mindset that there was a disappointment in what was going on in politics, that when Obama came in with hope and change, that he wasn't able to achieve enough to satisfy everyone. And they were going to sit out the election or not vote for the incumbent Democrat. And I wrote and said, be careful what you wish for, because you may not want what you get.
Yep.
And unfortunately, that message was not heard sufficiently, and this is now the result. But
well,
you know,
one Wisconsin state assemblywoman said it best. Take a listen to this, Michael.
You know what? If you never voted before, I bet you will now.
I mean, but hasn't this really motivated? I mean, all of us, you know, progressives, union folks, I mean, a lot of the groups that elected this president, I think, have been re-energized by this.
They have. And, you know, I've never seen as much unity as I see now. I just came from a meeting this morning. I'm in Washington, D.C. I'm attending the executive council meeting tomorrow, where we're going to develop, a further response to what's going on in Madison and elsewhere. And the unity is just, you could cut it with a knife. It's there. It's all over. So this Walker has unified the Democratic Party, has unified the labor unions people. But more importantly, you know, we've been hoping for a debate on the value and merits of collective bargaining for years and years and years, and we could never get a national debate. Now we have a national debate, and we find once the people have the facts and once they hear, you know, what's going on, 61%, 2-1, now support the union issues.
Yep.
And this is exactly what we wanted. You know, we've taken surveys in the AFL-CIO in the past, and it indicated that 60 million Americans would vote for a union if they had the opportunity to do so in their workplace.
Yep.
Which is amazing. I think these current polls reinforce that support. The support for workers is out there, but we just have to harness it and educate and bring them into the movement, and we're doing that now.
Well, they should, in my opinion, the right wing should listen to their hero, Ronald Reagan, who called union membership one of the most elemental human rights.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. Michael Goodwin, proud to be in the trenches fighting the good fight with you. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thank you, Stephanie. Keep up the good work.
You too, sir. There he goes. President Michael Goodwin, who was doing that from a speedboat, apparently.
Or some powerful electromagnetic field.
Yes, or someone was trying to jam the signal.
Yeah, it almost sounded like a Soviet trying to jam the Voice of America. But...
Yes. Wow. It did have an old-timey feel, didn't it?
Yes.
All right, here's a great big yell.
Of right-wing hypocrites!
I finally had a chance to watch, did you guys, this tape of this horrible, the Assembly, not the Senate in Wisconsin, right. But how they passed this through the Assembly?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a bunch of bastards, these Republicans. They approved the legislation stripping public employees of their collective bargaining rights at 1:17 a.m. in the morning. Republicans held the vote open for literally seconds. The vote was called while many Democrats were outside the Assembly chamber preventing them from casting no votes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is the only way they seem to be able to win now, is by dirty tricks.
Yep.
And I mean, just exactly the way Governor Walker was discussing it with who we thought was David Koch.
Right.
This way to trick the, you know, the senators back in by pretending he was going to actually negotiate with them and just lock their paychecks in the drawers or whatever. Governor Scott Walker praised the Assembly's action. It flies directly in the face of commitments Walker made on the campaign trail when he promised to end late-night votes because, quote, nothing good happens after midnight.
Well, you got that right.
Yeah, he promised to sign legislation if elected governor that prohibits the legislature from voting after 10 p.m. or before 9 a.m. Oh, yet another one. Yeah, just another. Now he applauds it because he's getting what he wants.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Molly in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Molly.
Hey, you guys.
Hi.
Love ya.
Love you back.
Okay, it's what we're getting highlighted is in talking about Obama position in all of this is the DNC DLC problem that's in this party, the corporatist and the and then the sort of more union based parts of the party and more and I think it's difficult because if he's going to talk pro-union and still work with Arne Duncan to privatize education with charter schools, that there's a real problem. And I think he should replace, I think people should call and suggest that he replace Duncan with Dan Ravitch.
Well, I don't think he's privatizing education. I think...
No?
No. I mean, that's a teabag destroy the Department of Education thing. I think that's just one program. All right, this was the Reagan thing I was just talking about. Many conservatives, of course, have invoked the legacy of Reagan to demand that Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker not back down. In fact, Walker compared himself to Reagan, as you know, to the fake David Koch. When David Koch clearly wanted to get off the phone so he could post the prank on the internet.
Right.
Wait a minute, I want to tell you a story. Myself to Reagan. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Okay. You know, this is a prank call. How long to go on with this?
Comedy should last
God.
No more than like 3 minutes.
Most important thing about comedy is timing and getting it on the internet fast,
yeah.
Governor. God's sakes, I'm not David Koch, you moron. here's a fun fact, Jim. Reagan was once a union boss himself.
Yes, SAG.
Yes, he was the president, in fact.
Yeah.
He was a union president of SAG for 6 terms. He was a staunch advocate for the collective bargaining rights of one of the world's most famous and most influential trade unions, Poland's Solidarity Movement.
Hmm.
Reagan condemned the Soviet-backed Polish crackdowns on labor unions, promoting the quote, basic right of free trade unions and to strike.
Yeah, but he also destroyed PATCO.
Right, but I'm just saying, you know, they just take out all the Reagan-y parts they don't like.
That's right.
All the amnesty little berries and things like that. Amnesty crunch berries, they take apart everything they don't like.
Oh, and they love to forget about Iran-Contra.
Oh, exactly. And zero nukes.
Will.
Dorothy in Michigan. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I love you guys. All of you are just wonderful. You're sane and you have common sense. I love that.
Sane?
I don't know about the
sane. Yeah, I don't know about the sane part. But.
All right.
I have been a union person for, you know, when I first started with the company that I worked for, it was unionized already, and I just retired in 2009, so I've been in the union for 30 years, and I am so proud of my union brothers and sisters around this country, and I don't know what people think. I don't know who they thought brought in the safety in the workplace, who was able to give them 15 or 20 minutes twice a day or have a lunch hour, and then have to ask the manager, is it okay for them to go to the bathroom? I don't know what their right to work state think that came from.
Yep.
I don't understand that. And how many right to work states are the union? So if you lose a family member, they give you a Bible and send you flowers. How many people does that in the right to work state?
That's right. That's right. You know? Thank you, honey. Good points. You two would have to spend 2 more days a week with me if it weren't for unions. Think about that.
And vacations.
40. Exactly. You'd have to vacation with me.
Oh.
What? No. 46 minutes after the hour, right
yeah,
back.
I don't even think you could take that.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! Golly, that sure was fun!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Think about direction, wonder why you have it now. Stand in the place where you were, now face.
Stephanie Miller.
Think about the place where you live, wonder why you have it now.
Wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah
is here. Get Jim a wah-wah pedal.
I have one, actually.
Oh, okay, good.
Can it be you put that to this microphone?
No.
No, you know what you need is one of those Peter Frampton things.
Mm. I love you.
Yeah,
I love
two.
You, Matterson. Okay, Tony.
Bon Jovi uses it, too.
Oh, does he? Yeah.
Okay.
Tony in Madison. Hello, Tony.
Stephanie and all you guys, I want to thank you and everybody else who's listening. And I hope we're not boring you guys too much with our little revolution here. In,
hope you're not bothering. Hope we're not bothering all y'alls with our revolution.
I did want to weigh in a little bit on the whole Obama coming to Madison thing, which I don't think is a good idea. And as you know, I know that Americans for Prosperity have been playing ads throughout Wisconsin, blaming Obama for the turmoil at the state capitol, and. And it just wouldn't be a good thing, you know. I mean, if he makes a statement, that's fine. But, you know, we don't really need him.
Well,
here.
We had Tony and other callers say the same thing, that he doesn't hear anybody in Wisconsin saying that. Part of my frustration is here we go with the mainstream media, even some of the progressive media, that are making this about the president doing something wrong again and not keeping the focus on Scott Walker doing something wrong and the other Republicans there.
I mean, it's fine, and you know, people are also saying Aaron Rodgers from the Packers should be here. I mean, leave these guys alone, you know. I mean, people are doing fine. We're carrying it on. We're going to carry it on.
Yeah, you didn't mean to. You didn't mean to.
A little sick. People are getting, bronchitis. People are losing their voices, but other people are coming by.
Well, you know, I'm reading a Daily Coast diary right now, saying the same thing you are. That people are getting annoyed that, you know, somehow this is becoming about the president. You know, when he went to Miss Wisconsin, by the way, countless times, urging people to get out and vote because this is what's going to happen. You know, if they put Republicans in.
We do take a little bit of responsibility for the whole not voting thing, because only about, 40% of Wisconsin voters voted last time. And a lot of it was somewhat of a protest vote against the Obama administration.
Yeah, well, I think.
Because we didn't feel they went far enough as far as. health care, and also the wars and things
Tony,
like that, too. So
I think the Scott Walker may have just turned Wisconsin blue again. What do you think?
Hey, a great number of the people that are out there were former Republicans. I tell you, we got the correction guards. They came marching through last Monday, thousands of them, and 90% of them voted for Walker.
Yep.
You got the firefighters and the police unions. Great numbers of them voted for
Walker. Newspapers.
They will not do it. They just blew it.
Yeah, newspapers coming out and taking back their endorsement or, you know, saying they regret it. Yeah, absolutely. They're so polite, aren't they, Jen? They're like, sorry to get our revolution in your apathy.
Yeah.
We're bothering y'all, are we? Sam in Seattle. Hi, Sam.
Y'all in Wisconsin.
No. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, go ahead.
This is Jim. Yeah, you know, to me, when you attack the firefighters and the policemen and the school teachers of this country, that is so just ridiculous. Those people, you know, carry our society. They're important, and you're showing, you know, so much less integrity when you do something like that. There's no class in that. And this thing is not just a United States issue. You know, a gentleman set himself on fire over in Africa over the fact that his country took away his financial opportunity, and he'd had it. Now you're seeing the president of Egypt thrown out by the people.
Yep.
And by the way, he took their money and put in a Swiss bank account, and all they wanted was higher wages and better quality of life. Now you're seeing it in Libya, Gaddafi being thrown out of all places.
I wonder if Gaddafi
and
I wonder if Gaddafi and Walker are conferring. they're on the phone with each other.
Well, here's the thing. It seems like the GOP, they want all the finances. They want to control all the politics. It's amazing how they're saying we got to do budget cuts. When has their budget cuts ever proved job growth?
Yeah, exactly.
When has their budget cuts ever proved to
bring back the economy.
Right.
If George Bush's program was so good under the GOP for 8 years, why did he leave in a great deficit?
Sam, those are good points. I was just reading a story, Jim, in the paper about that people are starting to wake up to what these Republican cuts mean.
Yeah.
This is the problem, is now you're really seeing what you voted for and how they're going to govern, and people are going, wait a minute, what?
You're just going to cut, huh?
I predicted that would happen. I just didn't think it would happen so soon.
Would you like to see the top 10 not-so-fun facts about what's actually happening in the Wisconsin? Top 10 disastrous policies from Wisconsin GOP that you haven't heard about. There's a lot more even just in this bill than people realize. It's not just about ending workers' rights essentially forever. It's number one, eliminating Medicaid. And by the way, their Badger Care works really, really well.
Yeah. So, that's why they want to kill it.
Yeah, that's why they got to screw that up.
Because that's the evidence of big government working.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Oh, shut up. Don't look. Look. Violence.
I know. Yeah. Number two, power plant privatization.
Power pants.
You try saying
power
that.
Power pants. Power pants.
I'm wearing my power pants.
Nuclear power pants.
Power plant privatization.
I got my nuclear power pants on.
And environmental neglect. The same budget calls for a rapid no-bid fire sale of all state-owned power plants, which has been called essentially what it is, privatization, no-bid contracts, deregulation, and naked cronyism.
Fascism is what that is.
And guess who? You'll never guess who's going to benefit most from that. The Koch brothers.
Really?
Wow. It's weird, I know. Pulled that out of my ass. Number three, dangerous
Things
drinking.
Things don't go better with Coke, apparently.
No. Dangerous drinking water. Republican lawmakers have introduced bills in both the Senate and the House which would repeal a rule requiring municipal governments to disinfect their water.
Great.
Drink up. Enjoy, everybody. Enjoy the dysentery. Number four, destroying wetlands. Walker's proposed regulatory reform bill exempted a parcel of wetland owned by a Republican donor from water quality standards. Number five, fiscal irresponsibility. Walker signed a bill requiring a two-thirds supermajority in the legislature to pass any tax increase. An amendment like that out here in California has been called the source of misery in our state in the first place. Number six, disenfranchising voters. This week, Republican lawmakers moved forward on a bill that would require voters to present a photo ID from the DMV at the polls, making it significantly more difficult for the elderly, disabled, college students, and rural residents to participate in elections.
So not only do they want to ship jobs to India, they want to turn this country into India. They like want to reroute the Ganges into Wisconsin.
Yes. Number seven, cutting
or
jobs,
Ohio,
losing
whatever.
The future. Last fall, Walker killed the $810 billion federally funded high-speed rail project.
Mm-hmm.
That decision killed 130,000 expected jobs.
Oh, the 21st century is
overrated. So you'll have more time to sit at home and drink infected water.
Yes. Mm.
Stifling innovation, in late January, Walker introduced a bill that would ban wind-powered energy from Wisconsin and exacerbate the state's dependence on out-of-state coal.
Great.
Number nine, naked power grab. In a party-line vote, the legislature ceded extraordinary control of the state's rulemaking oversight process to the governor. And number 10, he has politicized state agencies. Fun, fun, fun. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, here is an excellent guest to quote, Jim, based on what we were just talking about. A lot of our callers in Wisconsin echoed this morning. Who said the president needs to keep doing what he's doing because this isn't about him? It's about the grassroots unions fighting in Wisconsin. Just like those folks in Egypt, it is up to the people of Wisconsin to win this fight. There's an old saying, never get in the way of your enemies when they are self-destructing. Who said that?
Ludwig van Beethoven.
No, I don't know. Somebody on Daily Kos. I'm not even sure who. It's a diary someone sent me. Okay, who said if Obama starts to weigh in, it gives Scott Walker a target, i.e. the president and the federal government sticking their nose in where it doesn't belong. Governors all over the place in Florida, Iowa, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Michigan are backing away from this union-busting tactic. Walker is out on a limb and looking like a bigger bozo every day. Who said that?
Johann Sebastian Bach.
No, some guy on Daily Coast. I don't really even know. Okay, who said Governor Walker right now may be under ethics investigation? And it was reported on Huffington Post that three of the senators are close to pulling the bill off the floor completely. So why would Obama go to Wisconsin to fight something that the unions are already winning on? Every major poll out there is behind the unions. He doesn't need to have a freedom march out there. He's done enough. He commented on the assault on unions, and his political action committee, OFA, is on the ground in Wisconsin knocking on doors, boots on the ground, phone banking, raising money for the cause. He needs to stay out of it because Walker is hanging himself. Who said that?
Johann Christian Bach.
Yes. No, I'm just kidding. Same dumb guy on the Daily Coast. I don't know. The important thing is it's Monday.
Somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday, Monday.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore
it. Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg.
Hello.
How did you do it? Did you do an Oscar, poll thing?
Yes, but they were the printing on our little ballots was so tiny.
Uh-oh,
I couldn't keep up, so they kept my ballot, and they said, we'll go through it and see if you won.
Yeah, I don't get voting for all the stuff on those things. I have no idea. I haven't even seen most of those films. I have no idea. I'm just guessing.
And when it comes to the foreign films, you never would have seen any of those.
The King's Speech, the breaking news out here in Hollywood, the big winner last night. Let's see, best picture, best screenplay, director, and actor in Colin Firth. Did you see it?
Yes, well,
I thought
it was lovely, and the thing is, it was lovely, and the thing is that a lot of the voters in the Academy are of an advanced age rather than young people, so I knew from the get-go Social Network wasn't going to get a whole lot.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
And then, what's her name, the fighter, the drop the F-bomb, the best supporting actress, Melissa, what's her name, Leo?
She hadn't done that, because I really like her acting so much.
It was a big effing deal.
Yeah, as Joe Biden said, that was a big deal, that she dropped him.
Yes.
At the Oscars.
It was a chance for, up till now, kind of unrecognized person, who isn't one of the pretty people.
Yes, exactly.
Who's going to win, and she was so great in the part, and then she had to.
I actually, I was hoping best supporting actor Christian Bale would go on a profanity-laced tirade like he did.
Da-dee-da-dee-da.
Yeah.
John professionally.
That would have been funny if he would have reenacted that whole rant. At the, what was it, a lighting director, Jim? I can't remember who he's done with professionally.
I think it might even have been the DP.
Yes, director of photography. Yeah. That was it. Did he thank the director of photography on this film?
I don't know. That would have been good.
Oh, that's funny.
But the thing is, everybody gets into their own little world on the set, and the DP is just looking at the lighting and...
Right.
He wasn't realizing that they were in a rehearsal at the, at the time, and that's why Christian went off on him.
Oh, listen, Chris knows.
He's line.
Well, this is an everyday thing. I get in a fist fight nearly every morning with my director of lighting here.
Oh.
Well, ever since we've been on, Ustream.
Right.
With the cameras in here, I just go
away. I keep forgetting that there's a camera there.
Yeah, everybody, it's StephanieMiller.com. You
and
can
I'm
see Edie McClurg.
I'm picking at my nose, and, I've got a little...
Oh, I did that a lot when the cameras
just
first...
Like, oh, dear, I forgot that.
Yeah.
Excuse me, folks.
I got that a lot, didn't I, the first week we were on camera?
Yeah.
People in the chat room, tell Stephanie stop picking her nose.
Well, we'd rather do that than have a big loogie come out right in the middle of
talking.
Well,
then I started picking my teeth instead, so they enjoy that much more.
Well, I can see you going to the theater. You're already picking your seat.
So what do you think about in a country that has normally the short attention span we have, that these protests are just getting bigger in Madison and across the country?
Because people are so frustrated, and they many of them are now out of work. So why not go and say, looky here we are.
Right.
Even on the
national level, Chris, it looks like they're negotiating, right? I mean, on the budget. The Boehner, by the way.
We have a moral responsibility to address the problems that we face. And that means working together to cut spending and to rein in government.
Spending.
Not shutting it down.
Rein it in. Why does he always sound like he's half in the bag?
Because I think he is always half in the bag.
Early in the day?
Yeah.
Jim, who was it that was just in here that was saying that off the air? Something about, like, you know, people have had to put him in cabs and stuff in D.C. He's pretty well known.
Oh, dear.
Mm. Glug, glug, glug. Just saying, allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's someone we can't talk about.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's someone we can't talk about that we... But we don't, you know, it seemed like they might have some idea that that were true.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Senator Kent Conrad.
It is acceptable to me to have $4 billion in savings in a two-week package. Sure. The makeup of that, you know, is up for discussion and negotiation. That negotiation's ongoing. And I'm confident we'll achieve a conclusion on that.
See, I think that's why Walker is losing the PR battle in Wisconsin, because, you know, no matter how you want to spin the midterms, I think the American people want people to work together to get things done. And, you know, like I was just reading, a lot of Republican governors distancing themselves because he looks like an asshat. He looks like he is not going to work with anybody, you know.
Obstructionists are a problem because it was always like, no, no. He's like a tantruming baby.
Yeah. No, exactly. Let's go to Mike in Madison. Check in there. Hi, Mike. You're on with Edie McClurg.
Sorry for the noise, guys. We're still at the Capitol, but I got to update you. The tactics have changed. We're down to about 50 or 60 people, and they will not open the doors to the public. We can leave, but no one can come in. State Capitol is open from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., mm-hmm. and they will not open the doors. So last night, they moved us down to the ground floor. I'm sure you heard Dale Schultz switched and decided he's not going. We don't trust him, but we feel a little bit down now. I mean, but, you know, I'll tell you what, after being here for 2 weeks, not only has it been a great experience, but, I mean, we are making progress. So, we can't get the word out. If Madison, anybody in Madison, please come to the Capitol. At least stand outside and protest. We are very thin at this point.
Yeah,
down to maybe 50 or 60 people hanging on.
Mike, how cold is it there?
The Capitol floor is as cold and hard as our governor.
See, they still got their sense of humor.
Oh, those Wisconsinites, I'm loving them.
Tina in Chicago. Hi, Tina.
Hey, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
I'm wondering, about the Koch brothers. How many union workers do they have in their ranks and what they're doing about it?
Oh, you know, I wouldn't know, Chris. We'd have to research that. Yeah, not even sure. They own so much stuff, don't they, Jim? They own.
It's obscene amount of stuff that they.
Yeah,
they own.
John in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Good morning.
Hi.
Governor Wanker has turned this into a civil rights issue. If you take a look at Title 42, Chapter 21. Subchapter 1, Section 1985, when that idiot used the word we, when he was talking about bringing in troublemakers, he set himself up for a world of hurt. So the thugs can go after the Republican Brotherhood anytime they want.
Yeah, there you go. Just this headline pissed me off, Jim. Governor Christie brags about state layoffs. Unions are trying to break the middle class. Unions are,
the middle class,
Jim. Well, he proposed a budget that holds up property tax rebates for seniors hostage to benefit cuts for public employees. He has, of course, bashed teachers' unions since the day he took office.
Unions allowed the middle class to exist.
He actually bragged that his state leads the nation in terms of public sector layoffs, claiming unions are trying to
break... Look at all the jobs I've destroyed. Look at me. Get me.
Because they think, oh, that's smaller government. Those are people that live in New Jersey that lost their jobs.
And aren't paying taxes anymore because they have no income.
Brad in Chicago.
Nice.
Hi, Brad. Nicely done.
Thank you. You guys make me smile and laugh every day, and I really appreciate
that.
Thank you. One thing nobody's talked about, and I'd really like to talk about it, is I respect Obama not being able to talk about some stuff, but Rush called his wife fat. He should call that guy out. He should go over to the place where he's broadcasting, take a couple of Secret Service agents with him, go to him face to face, and then call him out in the parking lot and beat the crap out of him.
No, he should. He should force him to play basketball with him for about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
See how he does.
he get winded from one layup, huh, boy?
Then
he falls to the floor.
He can take on Rush and Governor Christie.
Yeah. That'd be hilarious.
He'd just be like Meadowlark Lemon. All right.
Running circles around him.
Exactly. This is exciting news. Jim, Newt Gingrich intends to take a formal step.
Frankly.
frankly, in the next 2 weeks.
In the next 2 weeks.
Closer to a presidential run.
Frankly, because it worked so well before, frankly. I couldn't wait to do it again, frankly.
Oh, did you hear his idea? Over the week, I guess it was a few days ago, the world's leading expert, of course, on frivolous impeachments of presidents, he's calling on the current crop of Republican lawmakers to repeat the same mistake he made as Speaker. He thinks they should impeach Obama over the defense of marriage thing.
Whatever.
Yeah.
What?
He said today, if President Obama doesn't change his mind and order his Justice Department to enforce the Defense of Marriage Act, Republicans in Congress should strike back and even consider impeachment hearings.
Yeah, that'll go well.
Think progress writing. Difficult to count the problems with Gingrich's proposal. For starters, Eric Holder's letter announcing that the DOJ will not defend DOMA in court specifically states that DOMA will continue to be enforced by the executive branch. So right there. Gingrich immediately backtracked. His spokesman said Gingrich never raised impeachment, nor did he say we were in a constitutional crisis. He was using to illustrate the hypocrisy of the media and the left. Did I? What?
No.
It's a nice try.
He didn't say it, but if he did, this is what he meant.
Yeah, exactly. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue apace with Mondays with McClurg on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, that was like magic.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Been a real bad girl. We can make it better. And tell me, boy, now wouldn't that be sweet?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. All right, Tim, I'm watching on Ustream. Stephanie's yawns. While watching on the Ustream, I've noticed that whenever Steph yawns, she looks like a snake unhinging its jaw to swallow a rabbit.
And that's why you were so popular in college.
Yes, that is why I was so popular in college. Thank you, Jim.
What?
I don't know what that meant. I'm tired, as I mentioned, Jim. I've been up all night. The guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money is staying at my house, and I've been up all night fending off his attempts to both kill me and have sex with me.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm tired.
Well, you put him in the dog room.
In what order?
Put him in with the dogs.
The dogs sleep with her.
No, the dogs sleep with me.
Oh, excuse me. I didn't know your living arrangement.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Has Governor Walker been pictured yet with an umbrella and a hat in a car? Is he ready to go or no?
No.
All right. The president on Saturday appeared to call for Gaddafi to vacate his office immediately. The president's carny. The president has a carny, you know, a president's carny this week.
So it's clear that Colonel Gaddafi has lost the confidence of his people.
The president stated when a leader's only means of staying in power is to use mass violence against his own people, he has lost the legitimacy to rule and needs to do what is right for his country by leaving now, the White House said over the weekend. Obama signed an executive order on Friday freezing the assets of Gaddafi, four of his children, and the Libyan government institutions, including its sovereign wealth fund. Here's one of his sons. I'm not sure which one.
Saif.
I have so many favorites. Oh, yes. Saif. Oh, he's good.
Yeah. Plan A is to live and die in Libya. Plan B is to live and die in Libya. Plan C is to live and die in Libya.
They're always such drama queens, the dictator sons, don't you think?
And repetitive.
Yes.
Strangely, Kim Jong-un wants to die in Libya. I don't know why.
I don't know why. They're confused.
I want to die in Libya.
I'm guessing because it's an L-word country.
Yeah. Libya.
All right.
Or maybe Louisiana.
Okay. Senator John McCain.
We could impose and could have imposed a no-fly zone. They would have stopped flying if that had been imposed. They're using air power and helicopters to continue these massacres.
Oh, for the love of God. Is he just always going to, I would have done it better if I were the president. Robert Gates, Defense Secretary.
In my opinion, any future Defense Secretary who advises the President to again send a big American land army into Asia or into the Middle East or Africa should have his head examined, as General MacArthur so delicately put it.
Whoa.
Wow. We've always been at war with East Asia, haven't we, Jim?
We are at war with East Asia. We have always been at war with East Asia.
All right.
Actually, it's
Central Asia now.
Sure. Edom Clark, you have some fun facts on the Koch brothers?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, after opening a lobbying office in downtown Madison and pouring millions of dollars into Scott Walker's campaign,
yes,
Koch brothers appeared to be one step closer to pushing ahead with their union busting, despite hundreds of thousands of protesters in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
But on Sunday, the cyber protest group Anonymous joined the protesters across the nation in what they described as a battle against the Koch brothers' attempt to usurp democracy. Hmm. The first shot came when the Koch brothers funded Americans for Prosperity was knocked offline by Anonymous. And they put the Koch brothers on notice via a press release that said, "It has come to our attention that the brothers, David and Charles Koch, the billionaire owners of Koch Industries, have long attempted to usurp American democracy. Their actions to undermine the legitimate political process in Wisconsin are the final straw. Starting today, we fight back." The release continued, calling the brothers oligarchs intent on scooping up Wisconsin's publicly owned utility plants and accusing them of stirring unrest and undermining the democratic process.
Thank you, Edie McClure. Thank you. By the way, we've been citing this not-so-fun fact all morning, but just so as you know, it wasn't the teachers, firefighters, policemen, and college students that caused the economic recession that has devastated government budgets. It was Wall Street, and as middle-class workers are being asked to sacrifice, the rich continue to rig the system, dodging taxes and avoiding paying their fair share. If you have $1 in your wallet, anybody? You're one of my Monty Hall. If you have $1 in your wallet, you're paying more than the combined income tax liability of GE, ExxonMobil, Citibank, and the Bank of America.
Yeah. Man.
Piss you off much?
Mm-hmm. And it looks like a lot of this unrest is from higher food prices, which is engineered by people like Goldman Sachs and all those. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you hear, you know, I happen to watch the Matt Taibbi on Bill Maher, and it's just, it is just beyond, when you look at what they're trying to take away from the hardworking teachers and firefighters and policemen in Wisconsin, and you go, these guys got off scot-free.
Yep. Because the regulators are in bed with the regulated, supposedly regulated.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, no, but that's what I'm saying, James. That's part of why we can't afford to pay these people that we made the deal with, these pensions and things, because it's Wall Street. It's like they had nothing to do with causing this crisis, the people that they're asking to pay for it. Oh, I'm sorry, Edie. I'm sorry you had to see me. I'm sorry you had to see me like that.
I appreciate that. You're dudgeon. Very high today.
She's normally in a low dudgeon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or a low dungeon, but that's a whole different story.
Yes. The one with the little shackles and chains attached to the
what
wall.
What the fox? Wow. Writing for Conservative Commentary Magazine, Peter Wenner says, even taking into account the entire MSNBC lineup, Glenn Beck has become the most disturbing personality on cable television.
Wow. Yeah.
The most disturbing.
He notes
it's
only a matter of time before Beck blows apart professionally. That's a right-wing magazine.
He's close. That's a right-wing magazine?
Yes. Mm-hmm. 29 minutes after the hour, we continue Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's totally hot and really fun, but she has a dead tooth.
I didn't know that.
Damn Ustream.
Oh, gosh.
I used to have gray fangs because my mom took tetracycline.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. They had to pull those.
Oh.
Either side of my front teeth, seriously. Mm-hmm.
Got little fake teeth there?
Uh-huh. Oh. Or little fangs. Okay, well... 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Oh, we have some Representative Brett Hulsey is a representative there in Wisconsin, is going to update us on what's going on. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, Stephanie. We love you in Madison.
Oh, I love me some Madison. So update us on what's happening.
Well, right now we're trying to get the building open again. Scott Walker is trying to shut it down and keep the people out of the building, the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And the Constitution says it should remain open. It's the people's building, so we're working on that right now to get it open. So.
Wow. So I didn't realize that. So that's really wasn't even legal what he did.
Yeah, well, what? Well, you know, he's not really bound by the law, Stephanie.
Yeah,
but,
apparently not. He's a little mini dictator, isn't he?
Yeah, he's.
Or just a mini dick.
We're trying to tell him to negotiate, not dictate, but not having much luck there. But yesterday at 4 o'clock, the police said they were going to close the building. I talked to people. I said, go home, get a good night's sleep. Because the floors have become so slippery, it's like a hockey rink in there. I was just
wow.
And but they're saying because some protesters stayed, they're going to try to close the building. So,
huh? Well, so what? Now, where do you see this going, Representative? I mean, what's next?
Well, Scott Walker just sent out a statement threatening the senators that if they don't come back tomorrow, the state's not going to be able to refinance the $165 million. And the ironic thing is this guy talks about, you know, not kicking the can down the road. This actually, it's deferring a payment costs the state $30 million, 18%. It's like putting it on an expensive credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And but we have Assembly Democrats under our leader, Peter Barca. We have a common sense compromise on the table. Our compromise actually saves $100 million more than Walker's plan,
mm-hmm.
while protecting families' freedoms, union rights, and not gutting Medicare, Medicaid. So.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you know, and as you know, I mean, the public is on your side. If you look at any number of polls, I mean, obviously, and there were, I think it was nearly 70 other rallies around the country. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, those were great. We had 100,000 people walk through the snow and mud on Saturday. It was amazing. You could barely, you know, it was like being at a rock concert. You could barely move out there. So.
Yep. Well, I mean, we'll see. We just got to keep the pressure on, Representative, because, I mean, even other Republican governors are backing away from him, you know.
And he looked really bad on Meet the Press yesterday. I mean, when you play back this Coke oil tape, you just see how cynical his strategy is. He threatened to lay off, you know, 5,000 teachers and this week just to kind of make a point and try to blackmail the Senate.
Yep.
Well,
Representative,
we're the Badger State, not the Weasel State.
Keep fighting the good fight, Representative. Thanks for the update.
Will do. Let us know when you need more.
I will. Okay. Representative Brett Hulsey of Wisconsin. Christina in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Christina.
Well, good morning, Steph. What an honor. Love me some Mama and the Mooks. I was just calling to let you know that because of the Stephanie Miller Notes program, we've got four people heading downtown in a Subaru right now. So we're going to join the fight.
I've activated the Subarus. Look out. Thank you, Christina. All right. Look out now. Don in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, baby.
I love to watch your show, and I appreciate your coverage of the events in Madison as they're unfolding. I'm concerned about the workers there getting fatigue and trying to fight this fight against the iron-fisted Walker, and they need some support. They need support troops. We had a rally in Santa Fe on Saturday, as I know there are other rallies around the nation, but I'm wondering why the organizers or whoever is pulling the events together in Madison don't invite somebody like Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Ben Affleck, somebody with some star power, maybe even Stephanie Miller.
Oh, well, now you're just dreaming a dream, my friend.
Somebody to draw the crowds together, you know, to rally the troops a little bit.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, if I knew anyone in Hollywood, I would ask them. But I'll see what I can do. Thank you, honey. Get me Brad and Angelina on the phone. What's wrong with you, Edie McClurg?
Well, they have 600 or 700 children to look after.
Yes, well, just if they brought their kids, the crowd would exponentially be. Yes, exactly. Connolly, the misfit soccer mom of the Stephanie Miller Show, she has sent me a couple of signs of her kids at the rally on Saturday. He's 8 years old, and he has a little sign that says Union Thug, which is very cute. Yeah. Little Union Thug. All right. Oh, could I have some gay music, please? This is very exciting. This is groundbreaking, Edie. The White House has picked a gay male social secretary for the very first time. Hmm. Jeremy Bernard, a California finance consultant for the Obama presidential campaign, has been named social secretary.
What's a wonderful post for a gay person.
He will be the first male and the first openly gay White House social secretary. A friend tells Politico that he's a serious, solid person with a bit of a silly side. He's fun and hilarious, the friend said, and he's impish. He can be a bit of a prankster. I think there's going to be whoopee cushions in the press room. He's a prankster. I don't know why I picture that guy on airplane.
I can make a brooch. I can make a hat.
Or place cards written with disappearing ink, so you just have all these people at every occasion just wandering.
Exactly. Oh, goodness.
And Rush Limbaugh's getting larger.
Thank you, Jim. That's the joke I was looking for. I was too tired to get to it. Thank you for that. Meanwhile, Alan Keyes, oh, is he still around?
And still crazy after all these years.
Prestige. Yes, he has, oh, this is a headline that'll make things that make you go, hmm. He likened gay marriage to granting plantation owners the right to own slaves.
Huh?
What?
What? Wow.
I don't.
That doesn't even begin to make sense.
I don't. Okay. I'm not even certain what that means. Okay. Let's do a little celebrity stack, shall we, Edie McClurg? How many Facebook friends do you have? Do you know?
Over 1,000. And that's after I pared them down from 5,000.
Oh, dear.
Stephanie, you have over 10,000.
Oh. We probably shouldn't have read that because it's going to make us feel bad. Eminem has knocked a Lady Gaga off the top of Facebook friends thing.
Eminem?
Yes. Eminem is the most popular living person on Facebook now.
Coming back strong.
He has, I'm close, Chris. I'm close. He has 28 million. Pardon me. Oops. I'm a little bit behind. Yes. 28,977,000.
Where's Vanilla Ice on that scale?
Not sure.
Ice.
Gaga took the crown from, did you know who? Barack Obama. What? In June. And on Twitter, though, Lady Gaga is way ahead of Eminem. Just so you know. I have how many again?
Over 10,000.
Carry the forward by 28 million. Okay, so he's a little bit ahead. How long will it take me to get there, do you think?
10,000
years.
All right.
And then 10,000, and then 10,000.
Maybe it won't matter because I'll be part of Miller Spitzer. Spitzer Miller.
Hey.
I don't know. Kathleen Parker has left Parker Spitzer.
Yes.
I've heard
they
you
should never put a name on the show.
No. It's now going to be called In the Arena.
There you go. Yeah. Whoever's in the arena, then
ooh, guess who's one of the people in the arena? Ooh. Edie Hill.
Yeah.
From Fox News, is she? Ooh.
Sounds a little like Celebrity Deathmatch.
Remember, she was the terrorist fist jab one. She's the one that said that was the terrorist fist jab that the Obamas do. Yeah, that one.
God.
I don't know. She's and others, just unnamed others, which may or may not include
Stephanie Miller.
Exactly. But if history is any guide, probably not.
Computer says no.
So, boy. Hey, here's an idea. I'm going to visit my Republican relatives in North Carolina next week. This is Christina Aguilera has sex in the bathroom during family gatherings. There's something.
Look at her slut.
She's very bored at the family gathering.
Super
pissed.
Yes,
listen.
By the twilight.
She's a slut.
By the twilight's last reaming, indeed.
Yeah. When drinking just isn't enough. The superficial writing, when she's not blacking out in random celebrities' beds after showing up uninvited to their parties. Christina, I guess that's another thing she's been doing. Christina Aguilera has acquired a new habit of banging her boyfriend Matthew Rutler in the bathroom during family gatherings, according to Us Weekly.
Spinning out of control,
Christina. Classy with a K. Brent, a source said, I would be shocked if she's not in rehab in the next month or two, or in a hotel room with Charlie Sheen. Who knows? Kelsey, can I have my wedding organ, please?
Kelsey Grammer.
He's digging, getting married to a child.
Pardon me?
I mean, a very young
No,
woman.
She's not a child.
He married him. Three times his age or something?
Something, yeah. Yes, okay. Katie Walsh, he married her on his La Caja Faux Broadway stage.
He didn't have to rent the house then.
No. She arrived wearing a robe and Uggs, and they were married
just
by...
Like users,
yeah.
I could have married Kelsey Grammer this weekend. They were married by an actor who plays drag queen in the show.
Oh, good.
How do you think that one's going to go, that marriage?
I'm a universal life marrier.
Really? Are you going to marry me to whoever at some point?
Absolutely. And it will be legal.
Sure. Awesome. Great. Now all I have to do is get a, what's the word I'm looking for? A life. I have to get a life.
Oh,
Arvid
dear.
In Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I love you guys.
Thank you.
My voice is a little bit gone. I'm a 61-year-old lifelong resident of Wisconsin, and my wife and I, she's 61. She's not young like Kelsey Grammer's wife.
Yes.
But
you have a regular-aged wife.
But she's just she's more beautiful. Aww. Anyway, she and I and my brother, we marched around the Capitol 11 times on Saturday, and there was one. We witnessed one guy yelling out, "Where is Obama? Where is Obama?" And the crowd basically ignored him. Speaking, if I can, because I'm a lifelong resident here of people in Madison, we're doing really good getting our message out, and our message is that collective bargaining has to stay. And if Obama does come to Wisconsin, personally, I would like to see him go to a union hall in Milwaukee and talk to some people there. But I really don't think he needs to come. I would like to hear him say more every day, and I've been thinking that for years, so this is not something new.
Yep.
He should say something in support of labor.
All right, Arvid, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling. All right, 46, I notice everybody that's calling from Madison is like, stop.
Yeah, they've been yelling a lot.
They've been chanting
good.
All weekend.
My family is from Wisconsin. I still have family in River Falls Hammond and Spring Valley.
Fabulous. Yeah. 46 minutes after the hour, we continue with the waning moments of Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have no fear. Steffi's here. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Let's kick it. Stop, baby.
What? I have hearing loss. What? What?
What?
Okay.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour. Ron writes, Staff, a unionized public employee, a teabagger, and a CEO are sitting at a table. In the middle of the table is a plate with a dozen cookies on it. The CEO reaches across and takes 11 cookies, looks at the teabagger, and says, watch out for that union guy. He wants a piece of your cookie.
Hey!
How are we doing on time, Paul? Okay, Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
You know, I look at the fact that, the Republicans don't like going to the White House for any social events the way it is right now. And now that now that there's an openly gay social secretary, no Republicans ever going to go into the White House because they're probably going to be afraid they're going to catch the gay on the silverware and the glasses.
Oh, the gay will be on everything.
God, exactly. There's going to be gay everywhere. All their journeys,
China is already gay just in it by its nature.
I know, and I would really like to know.
I mean the dishes, not the country.
Well, exactly. Okay. But, there was no posting for this job. I could have been the social secretary.
I know you could have, Tim.
I mean, come on. Why wasn't this posted? Why isn't this in my weekly paper?
I'm sorry. Why wasn't it on Craigslist? Hey, was the breaking news on the Craigslist guy? The congressman. Wait a minute. I can't believe we waited this long for this.
Okay, that may have been a record-breaking resignation because there may have been some transsexuals involved.
What?
Hello.
Oh, no.
Okay,
yeah, I thought,
knew there was something more going on there.
I thought that was a very speedy resignation.
Wow.
There was I wonder if there's fire where that smoke is.
Yeah.
Yes, what's his name? Representative Chris Lee, right?
Yeah.
Yes. The Republican congressman. He just had the shirtless picture on Craigslist. And you're thinking, that's not so bad.
Does he have Eddie Murphy on speed dial?
Maybe someone just needed a ride, and
yes, exactly.
What? The dude looks like what?
He looks like a lady.
What? Donald.
Except for those gigantic wrist bones and feet.
What? Yeah, I'm a lady. What? Of course I'm a lady.
I'm T times a matey.
Steve in Los Angeles. Hello, Steve.
Good morning. Two very, very brief things.
Yes.
First of all, regarding Scott Walker on Meet the Press yesterday, what we're dealing with here is Sarah Palin with a bald spot.
Yes.
The other thing is, I mean, really. The other thing is, given the fact, and pardon my putting it this way, that intelligence and perception are the best kind of head, you are the hottest woman on radio.
Oh, ooh. Why, thank you. Why, isn't that, I don't talk. What was that, what? About?
Right on the edge.
Well, sorry, Edie, you started it, for God's sake. You made a joke. I don't know what's the matter with you. I have the vapors this morning or something. All right. You know how we were saying earlier that the media just decides so-and-so is a superstar, like Chris Christie, like, oh, people are saying, and it's like really only other pundits are saying. So Mitch Daniels is the Republican in Indiana who, I don't know. He is a giant. He's going to join the...
Yes.
He defended his state's Democratic House members Tuesday for fleeing to Illinois in order to block passage of a union busting bill, calling their actions perfectly legitimate and even saying, I salute them. But then, of course, he started taking a beating from the teabaggers, and he's done a complete 180, telling Fox News that the lawmaker's flight was unacceptable and outrageous and embarrassing. Neil Cavuto asked him to clarify his comments defending the Democrats, and Daniels responded by saying he was referring to the protesters, not the lawmakers, and that people misunderstood him because he was not being clear about my pronouns. The full audio of his comments make it clear he was speaking of legislators. He referred to our friends in the minority, a clear reference to legislators, and said the activities of today were legitimate. The big news that day was the Democratic walkout. These guys, they can't step one iota out of the teabagger party line, or they get, you know, the bejesus, tagged.
By the way, someone has made a poster of David Koch and said, things don't go better with Koch for hardworking Americans.
Yeah. I say it here, it comes out
there. And
there
it comes. All right, let's see. Since this has been a very emotional, heated weekend, let's do some fun stacks, shall we, Edie? Right.
Please.
I love a good chick fight. I don't know why. Naples, Florida. Police say a brawl between roommates over Girl Scout cookies led to assault charges against one of them. 31-year-old Hersha Howard woke up her roommate early Sunday and accused her of eating her Thin Mints. They argued, and deputies say it turned physical, with Howard chasing her roommate with scissors and hitting her repeatedly with a board and then a sign.
You got to be really hungry to have a fight over Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, but the Thin
Mints? The Thin Mints are good.
Yeah, the peanut butter ones.
Listen, a bitch will cut you over Thin Mints. That is not...
The girls like Thin Mints, and the boys like the
peanut butter.
The peanut butter.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. This is where Drunk Stack meets Future Husband Stack. A drunk man breaks into Pizza Hut to deep fry some chicken wings. 21-year-old is accused of FUI, frying under the influence. He tripped the alarm where he was actually Pizza Hut where he works.
Oh.
He tripped the alarm. The officers found the restaurant's back door open. They came upon the man and saw he had tried to deep fry some boneless chicken wings. His blood alcohol content 3 times the legal limit for
munchies,
driving. But he wasn't
right?
driving. He was frying.
Frying without a license.
Jim, this seems made for you somehow. I'm not really sure. Baby Gaga ice cream is made with human breast milk.
Ew.
No?
Ew.
Not even for squeezy? Ew. A London company offering unusual dessert ice cream.
Unusual?
Yes. Baby Gaga. It's... Ice cream sold out as soon as it launched on Friday.
Well, like Carlos Elizarraqui likes to say, it makes a lot more sense for a human to eat human breast milk than the breast milk of a completely different animal altogether.
Yeah,
right?
I guess. Yeah, I don't know why.
But still, there's an ick factor.
Well, why is there then? That's what I'm saying. You're right. It makes more sense naturally.
Because it's all right to drink the milk of your mother, but not your neighbor's
mother. Someone else's
mother.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ugh, I just had an image of drinking Mrs. O'Brien's breast milk. At least a little bit of water. Okay, all right. Oh, and one last one. We played a Dennis Miller clip last week. Chris in Yankton says, guys, what the heck is Dennis Miller's Comedy of Manners thing about? The Dennis Miller Mad School of Mad Libs demanded a highbrow reference in that sentence, so he shoehorned it in. Voila, comedy. And he quoted him, and then you get the cops down there in Egypt acting like Kardashians at the local Walmart while the president's diplomacy resembles a production of Blithe Spirit, and the whole thing's like an apocalyptic Orange Julius in the Tangier airport with Nancy Culp in a stormtrooper suit providing security. Chachi.
Too many oblique references.
Four words to that effect. Thank you, Chris. All right, that's it for us. Don't forget our Tuesday part, Charlie Pierce, tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.